Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Oh, no, the accent doesn't do it justice, does it? Christophe Mallet, he is away on Dakar on location. So you've got me, Dave Macca, in the chair for this week's episode of the SBS podcast. And of course, joining me all the way in Perth, Grace Brown. What a week we've just had.
Oh, boy, oh boy, it's been a good week of cycling here in Perth. And I missed being on the ground last year. Really happy to be here this year and feel the vibe, the atmosphere, the beautiful weather, and the crowds have been great. And the racing is really just like shone through. So
yeah, it has, hasn't it? It's been an awesome week. It's literally just finished. We've just got to the end of the men's, but the week that we had, the time trials, your pet event, there were some pretty awesome TTs there, and of course in the women, and Felicity winning, that was a real highlight, I think, for me.
Yeah, Felicity Wilson-Heffernan just absolutely smashed it out of the park. It was fairly close in the end there to Brodie Chapman, the defending champion, but I think really positive to see Fliss up. We saw her talent when she won the Junior World Championship ITT back in Glasgow, the finish up in Stirling there. I was there on the ground when she won, and that was really exciting. And she's had some tough years in the pro peloton, but now I think she's hitting her straps and we're seeing her strength re-emerge.
Is this a good sign? I mean, as that was your real pet event, but you did obviously a lot more than that on the road, but that is that good signs for Felicity just for this season ahead and an real opportunity for her now to step up within Liddell Trek and, you know, sort of cement her place in the world tour?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you can, like, pull together a really quality time trial, it shows that things are, like, you know, coming into place where they're supposed to be. Her training's having the effect that it should. She's probably got her head, you know, lined up in the right space to really perform. I think for a young rider coming into the world tour, moving overseas from Australia, like really just uprooting her life, there's a lot to juggle getting used to it, and now that she can put a performance in like that, is really promising for the year ahead overall.
Let's shift to the road races now and the elite women's and under 23s. Last year we saw Lucy Stewart. She was an under 23 riding for Livalula. She wins both. She gets the elite crown. She gets the under 23 crown, obviously. It happens again.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Copeland. It was a masterclass, I thought, from Livalula.
Yeah, I think the women in Livalula Jayco did a really, really good job. Obviously, they have the upper hand. When you've got 9 riders in the peloton, no other team has that depth and experience. They were obviously in the pressure seat to win, but they were able to pull it off and they were in control of the race the whole day. They had a rider up the road anytime there was a group. We saw Josie Talbot really in prime position in that breakaway of 3 for majority of the race, but it was Mackenzie Copeland, a young rider that's just stepped up onto the World Tour team after being in the Conti team, that rode across and was the strongest on the day to win.
She's
a Perth local.
Yeah, she's a Perth local. Let's hear from her.
Feels pretty amazing. I think I heard my name on almost every corner, so I definitely felt a lot of support out there.
And can you talk us through the moment from your attack, catching Josie, passing Josie, and then fighting the rest of the way?
I sneakily got away with, I think it was Tiff, and I just sat on because I knew I could only help Josie up in the front if I had legs. So I sat on for a bit, but then I got onto the climb and I was just doing my tempo and dropped her, so I figured might as well try catch Josie now. Gave me a good run. It was really hard to catch her, but I think I just gave her a bit of a shock, and she told me to keep going, so just kept going, kept digging deep, and yeah. I was very hesitant when I caught Josie and when she told me to go, but it wasn't until I saw one of our staff on the side of the road, I think 500 metres after that, telling me to just go.
Yeah.
So that's when I switched and I was like, all right, I've got to just start now. I feel like once I saw the finish in the distance after I turned the corner, my legs just kind of went numb because I saw the finish and I was like, we're done, but we weren't done just yet.
Yeah, fantastic.
Still had a bit to go.
So that was Mackenzie Copeland. Yeah, what a way, what a dream. You know, we saw Durbridge winning last year, local Mackenzie Copeland. She's got a whole career ahead of her. Some of the other notables, first, I think Ruby finishing second, winning the crit. She did that in a real dominant style. I think Ruby's got, I'm hoping to, she's a real, I'm a real fave of hers. I think she's got a big season ahead of her.
Yeah, she's definitely like back in her good form. I think we saw in the last year or so not quite getting to where she wanted to, but these performances here at Nationals have been super promising. I think she's had a really good block of training and is back in line for a good season this year. Obviously, I think it's difficult for the favourite or like the top contenders in Jayco to actually win, because they're the ones that when they attack, we saw it today, any time that Ruby went on the move, it was basically shut down. So it wasn't until the end there where it became really attritional that she was able to get a little bit clear. But of course, Mackenzie was already up the road.
And Spratty, she didn't get the win. It's her last national champs. It's hard to believe when we say that out loud, isn't it? But she's such a racer. Oh. She raced all the way today. She raced hard in the crit. She's going to race hard this year, and I still think she's got a big victory ahead of her somewhere throughout the season.
Yeah, it would have been a fairy tale, I think, for her to win today. We were all, like, secretly cheering for that. But, yeah, I think it would have been hard work with just her and Loretta in the bunch today. Unfortunately, Fliss didn't get to start due to an accident in training. But, yeah, she raced so well, Spratty did today, and we can see that she's strong and she's raring to go for her final season.
Yeah, she is. And just to wrap up the Aussie women, it's good, isn't it? The depth is there. We saw it. It was a good field. It was a strong field. Big field as well. I think we can look forward to hopefully some big results this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, the talent coming up now as well, a lot of them have just taken their careers into their own hands, taking themselves over to Europe to race, get experience, and we're seeing a lot of strong riders step up now. And you know, we've had 2 years in a row where a rookie has won the national championships, and I think that's really promising. It makes me excited.
Yeah, it does. Makes me excited as well. Short break, and then we'll be back to recap the men's road race, and you want to hear the recap of that, because what we just saw was insane. Welcome back to the SBS Cycling Podcast. There is only one man I need to debrief the men's road race with. Insert emojis, head explosions. Matthew Keenan, we just had a fantastic day. We've called some great races together. That goes down as one of the best, but that was madness, what unfolded.
It was beyond a head explosion. My head actually fell off and has rolled down Malcolm Street.
Was that pre or post when you were getting Bettles Carter?
There was so much happening.
Oh, that was crazy. That was crazy. Before we talk about the win and what unfolded, let's go back to the start. It was an attacking style race. It took a few laps for the break to get going. Then we see it emerge. Chris Harper, Durbridge, O'Connor, some other really strong riders in that break. They went out to about 5 minutes, and we just started to think, and Caleb, he knows better than both you and I put together, but he said, okay, a little bit more and this race is just about done.
It was over. Halfway through, it was over. Matt White, who has all the experience in the world, now working with Movistar, he was roadside and he was unbiased. And he spoke to Jamie, our man from SBS, and he said, oh, race is over, that group's going to win.
Yep.
And we saw Jay Vine at the front of the race, and he turned it into, I need this number for my training stress score for the day.
Yep.
He did a bunch of turns on the front, and he pulled the pin. He's preparing for the two and out under. It was race over. That's the beauty of sport. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then the brakes started attacking each other. There was a bit of movement in the peloton. Vine actually changed the shape of the race.
Yeah.
Didn't finish, but he changed the outcome of this race.
He certainly did. So then he sort of helped bring it down to around the 2.5-3
yes.
minute mark. So got it just close enough. And the psychology of, let's call it a peloton, it was reduced, but a peloton that went from 5 minutes suddenly to under three, thinking, hang on a minute, they're getting tired out in front. Durbo goes on the attack. O'Connor does a big attack up the climb. They all cover him. Durbo slips through and then continues on, slips into TT mode. He goes out to 1 minute 47 seconds, still with about two laps to go. The peloton is still closing, but at this point we're starting to think it's Durbo's.
Yeah.
And I said in comms, I said to you guys, he had a bigger margin at that point in the race than the same time last year. And then, who wants to say what happens next? Maybe I'll handball this one to you.
Well, did Jayco get too greedy? Did they try and occupy all three spots on the podium and underestimate a local team, Team Brennan?
Yeah, that's one way to put it. And maybe.
What's the other way?
Well, the other way is they got greedy. And I think the other thing is too many cooks in the kitchen. Ben O'Connor dearly would have loved to win this. He's a WA native.
Yep.
He's come here with pretty good form. He did a pretty good TT. And I always thought, well, his road form's always going to be better. He showed that today. Luke Plapps won three. He almost could have won last year. I won't say he handed it to Luke Durbridge because Durbo worked the hardest for that one. But Plappy had a free ride. He also wanted to win this.
Yes.
They forced the pace. And, yeah, they didn't drag. They didn't sit on the front and drag the rest up to Durbo. But they caused the reactions and they got it close enough to then make it almost inevitable that they had to go on the attack.
Okay, so then in hindsight, it's always a lot easier. And I still don't know the answer to this question. Given the way Luke Durbridge did fade on that final climb, if Plapp and O'Connor had have just raced to defend the position of Luke Durbridge and responded to the attacks and sat second wheel and didn't work, would Durbridge have held on?
I think he would have.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, see, well, and we'll never know. I don't know the answer either. But I think with one lap to go, that you should be pulling zero turns as a Jake Alula rider, no matter what gap you have. And there was enough surges. And I can't say I saw any surges from O'Connor, and the cameras weren't back there. We saw him come across with the other Brennan rider to Plappy, but I saw Plapp do surges, and he shouldn't have. And those surges, to me, was the difference. And they kept surging. It wasn't 1 minute surges, but it was enough when you've got a tired man out in front. All you had to do was follow the wheels. And I think Durbo would have went away with it.
And those surges gave hope to Brennan in particular. Ollie Bledden, teammate of the day. But what we did see from Jacob Alula all day long, think of the hand signals from Matt Heyman when O'Connor and Durbridge kept going back, and the gap was at 4 minutes. It never looked harmonious at Jacob Alula.
No, there was always... And they wanted it to be definitive, and I understand that from Matty Heyman. He wasn't prepared to take any chances at all, so I understand that. But you know what, Matt? We are 5 minutes in, and we haven't mentioned the guy who won. It was Pat Eddy. Let's hear from your new Australian road champion for 2026, Patrick Eddy.
I mean, Pat, you said it on the podium a few months ago. You had very little, and now you've got a national title. How does it feel?
Well, yeah, I'm just disbelief, hey, like, and you know, like, I was wondering, I didn't even know if I could do it yesterday, and then most of the day I thought it was done, and then when I saw Durbo in the last 4Ks, I just, like, knew I had to hold the bloody wheel, and yeah, I can't believe I got it done, eh?
And to come over that line first, and now you're wearing the green and gold, what's that mean?
Yeah, like, I haven't won anything since I won, like, Junior Nationals in 2019, so I started to forget what it was like to win a bike race, and yeah, this is what I fell in love with for the sport, and it's just good to be back.
And so many people are coming up and congratulating you, so happy for you. I mean, what does that mean to have the support of your friends and family?
Yeah, it means everything. Like, you know, like a few months ago, it felt like most of the cycling world like gave up on me, but yeah, there was just those handful of people around me, and you just kept believing me, kept telling me to keep at it, keep hustling, and yeah, this is for them, eh?
So that was Pat Eddy. Still in a bit of disbelief, I think.
So are you.
I think we all are, aren't we? I mean, my phone's been going bonkers. Messages from all across the country. He's out of the world tour. We talked about that. He got dropped from his team. This is the win you need, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And what I loved about it was that he was against the odds, and it reminded me of Heyman winning Paris-Roubaix. And he was outnumbered. Ollie Bledden laid it all on the line. He had Conor Leahy look after him throughout the race. He had Tristan Saunders in the breakaway. And Plapp had him on the ropes.
Mm.
And the gap opened up by about one bike length.
Yeah.
And then Pat Eddy stuck with him. When they came around that last corner and they paused, and I saw Pat go to the front with about 300 to go, I thought he'd given Plapp another chance.
Yeah, so did I.
But then, in contrast, to flip it the other way, it's an uphill drag, so the slipstream benefit isn't quite as much. And by leading it out, He knows that he's got a better jump than Luke Plapp, and it was going to be harder. Plapp's got to go that full bike length around him.
To get back past him.
Turned out a pretty smart move.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was. I think I said it in the coverage, and I think everyone at home listening, if you're listening to this pod, it surpassed last year's Nationals.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was a great race. Durbo winning, it was a fairy tale, but this was nail-biting right till the very end. What does this mean for Pat Eddy? Can he get picked up at such a late stage? 10 years ago, we would have said, no, well, he's got to sit a year out. Can he get picked up by a team, do you think, after TDU?
Unlikely, because of how difficult the market has been this year, with Lotto and Intermarché merging, Arkea disbanding. It's a buyer's market. It's not a seller's market. So it's really tough for a rider to get in. But what he'll take hope from is Rudy Porter. So Rudy Porter was with the Jacob Alula team. He lost his contract. He had a year in the wilderness, worked his butt off and got back in. He's now back in the World Tour. Pat Eddy's only 23 years of age.
Yeah, you forget he's so young still.
His birthday's not until October.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a long way from his prime.
Rudy Kemner, are you listening?
Pick him up.
That was in reference in the live interview post. Rudy Kemner, you're going to regret dropping me. So... yeah, he's got fire in the belly, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Team Brennan are going to give him plenty of opportunities to show himself internationally. He deserves to get back into the World Tour. The next stop for him, Santos Tour Down Under, and then the MAPPE Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race, which we'll be covering right here on SBS. Another opportunity for him to show himself in front of the World Tour squads.
How good is this sport?
I just love it.
Today is when we love it, don't we, more than anything else. It has been a fantastic Nationals. Maddie, I love working with you. We have an absolute ball together. Can't wait to get over to Tour Down Under. And then, of course, Cadel's. And as you say, we're wrapped that it's on SBS. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Christoph, we've missed you. I need you back. I don't know how to edit. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.